Wow. You know, for any Star Wars fans knows the next part is... Wow, Kelly says she had a video for me. That's phenomenal. That's going on Facebook later today. There's no doubt about that one. That will be on Facebook. There is no doubt about that. Well, let me tell you what an honor it is to be your pastor here at Asbury Church. What a great joy it's been to worship thus far. I love as Kelly and I were talking about worship today. It really is a God thing, because like I had some songs I liked for us to sing, and they were already in the service before me even suggesting them to Kelly. I mean, it's already a God thing. Greater things are yet to be done in this city. Wow. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't it great to be part of a body of Christ that longs to know Him on a deeper level, and to spread His love throughout, gosh, all the world? What a great joy that is. So let me tell you, first off, what an honor it is to be your pastor. What an honor it is to be appointed to this church. And today's topic has been, who are you? You know, because one of the greatest compliments I'm paid by people is this, when they tell me this. They say, Andy, you don't act like a preacher. I don't know how they mean that when they say it, but I take it as a compliment. I take that as a compliment when folks say, I don't act like a preacher. That's a good thing, in my opinion. I think that means people saying that I'm kind of normal, well, or crazy, one or the other. I'm not sure which one. But I say that to you, I don't act like a preacher because I haven't always been one. I've been where you are. I've been on this first Sunday of a new appointment wondering, now who's this guy again? I was talking to some folks yesterday at the Lighthouse about Bill Poole was my pastor from second grade through eighth grade in school. And Brother Bill was at my home church forever. And boy, to follow him was something. So when the pastor behind him walked behind, it took us a while to figure out, who is this guy we've got? So you wonder, who are you? Who is this guy? Who is this guy the bishop sent here? What is he like? What does he do? What is his beliefs? How is he going to fit in? I've been where you are. And so today, what I want to do in the sermon is I want to unpack that and let you know who I am. And not just who I am, not just a list of biographical facts, but what I believe. What I believe God's calling us to be. So I want to tell you who I am. I've got a lot of history to unpack. You're going to learn a lot about my family in the years to come. You're going to learn a lot about me and what I believe. But I just wanted to kind of give you a basic outline of who I am. Then more importantly, tell you who I am. Because who we are is not just a collection of facts, is it? Who we are is our heart. And I want you to get a glimpse of my heart this morning. So I am the son of Connie and Maxine Stoddard. That's my mom right there, my two precious children who get their good looks from their mama, which I'm so thankful about. I'm the son of Connie and Maxine Stoddard. My parents live in Bogota, Mississippi. I'm the husband of Holly Stoddard. As most preachers, I'm married so far above myself that it's ridiculous. Amen, Larry? Amen. I've yet to meet a preacher that didn't marry above himself. That's not a high bar for most of us to jump over. But I'm the husband of Holly. We have two beautiful kids, Sarah and Thomas. Sarah is our oldest. She is 6 years old, just turned six, June 13th of this year. She'll be entering the first grade. And we have Thomas, my little boy, who's turns four this year. I'm giving them a proper upbringing. When they see me wearing a red or blue shirt, Thomas will already say, does that shirt say Go Rebels, Daddy? And I say, yes, Thomas, that shirt says Go Rebels. So they're getting a proper upbringing. You know, the Bible says, raise a child in the way of the Lord, and they will not depart as they grow older. That's my banking on that. I'm hoping that I'll be able to raise them and or brainwash them into being Ole Miss fans. You know, hey, by hook or by crook, baby, whatever works. Whatever works. I'm a proud graduate of Bogachita High School in Bogachita, Mississippi. Go Bobcats. You're going to hear a lot about Bogachita, a lot of stories. Anybody ever floated or tubed the Bogachita River? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I grew up in Bogachita. Went to Bogachita High School. Was a graduate from there, from Bogachita. I went to Kapaa Lincoln Community College, where me and my sweet wife, Holly, met. Holly's in the back over there. You want to wave everybody, Holly, and let them know who you are there? Well, I told you I married above myself. Am I lying? I went to Kapalinghi Community College, where Holly and I met. She was a cheerleader there at Colin, and that is me as a... Y'all, listen, I kind of got a bad deal on that one. Because Miss Pat Young, the cheerleader sponsor, told me, he said, Andy, we need somebody to be a cheerleader as an alternate. You don't have to cheer. You get a scholarship, and you get free food. I love free food. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. And I did it, and then two of the cheerleaders quit, and thus we then have what we have there. You know, that's an impressive face right there. So we went to Colin together. From there, from Colin, Holly came down to some university in Hattiesburg I'm not familiar with. I went to Mississippi College. You expected me to say Ole Miss, didn't you? You expected me to say Ole Miss. No, I actually went to Mississippi College because this is why. I was going to be a doctor. My undergraduate degree is in chemistry. I'm putting my chemistry degree to good use as a Methodist pastor, of course. But I was going to be a doctor. So I went to MC. The reason why I went to MC was because when I was in college, MC had the highest admissions rate to medical school. So I went to MC thinking it'd be the best way to get into medical school. So I went to MC and surrendered to the ministry my junior year of college. I'd felt the Lord calling me for years. I spent many a summer at Camp Wesley Pines in Gallman, Mississippi. And I really felt the Lord working with me. And I always said, no, God, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be a preacher. I might do a lot of stuff for you, but I ain't preaching. That's not going to happen, Lord. And by my junior year, rather, the Lord wore me down, and I went to MC. I entered the ministry. From MC, I went to Memphis Theological Seminary in Memphis. Well, between MC and seminary, I took a year off, and I tell folks I wanted to work for a year so that I could say I had an honest job for once in my life. Because I knew I was going to be a preacher, and that's not an honest job. I went to seminary, and from there I started serving churches. My history of appointments are this. I served first in Mississippi Delta at Boyle, Lynn, and Litton United Methodist Churches. Lynn was my largest church. On a good Sunday, Lynn would have 20 people. Litton was my smallest church. On a good Sunday, we would have 5. Litton was in the middle of a cotton field. By the way, that's not Tunica. Y'all are good, okay? Larry's been appointed to Tunica this year, so you're in much better shape than that, Larry, I promise you. Those were our churches there. From there, I went to Coy United Methodist Church, which is right outside of Philadelphia, Mississippi. We were there for 3 years. And after Coy, we went to Ripley. I was at Ripley First United Methodist Church for the past 3 years. And now y'all are stuck with me. So one of my buddies told me, said, Andy, every time you move across the state. Like, I've never stayed one place geographically when I move. I move from Jackson to the Delta to Philadelphia to Ripley to Hattiesburg. So he told me, Andy, you're running out of area of the states to go to. I'm like, yeah, hopefully we'll be at Asbury for a while so we won't have to worry about it. I forgot one part about my story I didn't tell you. I was this close to leaving the Christian faith. When I was at MC, good, outstanding Christian college. Send your kids to MC. It's a good school. But when I was at MC, I was this close to leaving not only my calling to ministry, but I was this close to leaving the Christian faith. Because I confronted a lot of stuff there that I didn't like. So a lot of hypocrisy. So a lot of judgmentalism. Not just at MC, but at churches across the area. So a lot of condemnation of folks not like them. So a lot of self-righteousness. So a lot of things that made me say, well, if this is what Christianity is, if this is what church is, then check, please, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I refuse to live my life in this way, and I refuse to do such a thing. So between, ironically, on my way to being a preacher, I almost left the faith. And I'm a church boy. I spend every Sunday of my life in church. You know, I spent every Sunday when I was a kid waking up. Boy, that's when I was cute. Show them how it progressed. Boom! Yeah. Whenever I'm arrested for being a serial killer, that's the picture they'll show. I tell Holly, she needs to realize what she's got, doesn't she? Oh, here we go. Look at that football. That's part of the mighty impressive bogey to the football team. We won zero games in my entire life. Actually, I played for 7 years and won 7 games. Made the Hall of Fame. That's a very low bar to jump over at Bogachetta. I could read. I wouldn't made the Hall of Fame. It's not very, you know, come on, man. Not very much of a challenge. So I was a church boy. I was raised in church. And I came close to leaving it. Because I saw a lot of folks talking about loving Jesus and saw no evidence of Jesus in their life. I saw a lot of folks talking about how they loved God, but their lives were full of bitterness and hatred and judgment. And I said, if that's what the Christian faith is, I don't want that. I'm not doing that. I'm not spending my life in that manner. Then I did two things. Or rather, God showed me two things. First is I discovered a book by a man by the name of Philip Yancey, titled What's So Amazing About Grace. Have any of you ever read that book? That book's one of the reasons why I'm a Christian. That book changed my life. Because it said this: God simply loves you. It's not about what you've done. It's not about what you're doing. It's not about what you're going to do. It's not about what you believe. It's not about any of these things. It's about understanding that you are a loved child of God. I'm going to tell you something right now that you're going to hear a lot from me the next few years. If you're living your life in a way to make God love you, you're going to fail. You can't make God love you. You don't have to. He loves you no matter what. No matter how beaten up you are. No matter how sick of church you are. No matter how sick of religion you are, no matter how much you've made mistakes, no matter what you did last night, no matter what you're going to do this week, God simply loves you no matter what. Life's about understanding that. What's so amazing about grace taught that story to me. It's one of the reasons why I'm a Christian. Another is I found my favorite passage of Scripture. This is from New Living Translation, from John chapter 10, verses 6 through 11. Those who heard Jesus didn't understand this illustration and what he meant. He explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may find a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. It ain't about religion, y'all. The world's got enough religious folk out there. It ain't about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a relationship with the awesome person of Jesus Christ. That is what it is about. That passage, John 10:10, is my favorite passage of Scripture. I grew up in the church I grew up in. I grew up hearing the King James being read most every Sunday. So when I quote Scripture to you, it's probably going to be King James because that's just what's up in here. King James says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm convinced that what we are so desperately seeking is life. We look for life, don't we? We look for it in our job. We look for life in our job. We want to be defined by our job. We want to be defined by our success in our career. We look for life in our families. I love my family. I love my family so much. My children are the pride and joy of my life. My hobbies are basically chasing my children. We look for happiness in our children, don't we? Our children are not perfect. They make mistakes. We find that empty. We look for happiness. We look for life in our bank accounts. We look for life in our savings. We look for life in all these places, and we always come up empty. I promise you, if you are seeking life anywhere other than in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be empty. You will find yourself empty and lacking and longing. And that's what I had done my entire life, y'all. I had thought it was about being religious. I had thought it was about church attendance. I had thought it was about being in a youth group. And by the way, y'all, church attendance is good. I'd like to see you back next week. I mean, this is important. Come back. Invite a friend. This is important. But this is a response to a gracious God. Do I love church? Yes, I do. But I love church because God loves me. Because I understand that my response to a loving God is to love Him with all that I am. I discovered that life matters. You are called to something amazing. You are not an ordinary creation. You are made in the image of God. You are of a sacred worth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no one that's ever been created that is like you. You are put here for a divine purpose. You are not put here to get a job. You are not put here to make a paycheck. You are put here for a divine and holy purpose that God has for you. There is no one like you. Our lives are about figuring out what God has for us. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. That's what made me a Christian. That's why I'm a Christian. What do I believe? I believe in the worth of every person. Our kids put it like this: God don't make no junk. I believe in the worth of every person here. I don't care what society tells you. I don't care what your parents have taught you, what your peers tell you, what anyone tells you. I don't care. You are a loved child of God. I don't care what baggage you bring here. I don't care what junk is in your backpack. I don't care. You are loved. You are worth more to God than your human mind can even understand. You are a precious and a sacred creation of God. I believe in a God that loves us no matter what. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're going to do. I believe that love is the foundation of everything. I can motivate you through fear. Sure I can. But fear wears off after a month. You get sick of fear. Love never gets old. I love my wife more now than I did when we got married. I'm going to serve her, and she will serve me, not out of fear, not out of duty, out of love. Love is the great motivator. So I believe we're loved, and I believe that God wants us to respond to Him. God wants to transform you. God wants to make you different. God wants to clean you up. God wants you to know that life that comes through Him. So God wants to transform you, transform me, and transform the world. I believe in the power of God to change anything. There's no one, there's no life, there's no heart that can't be transformed. That's who I am. But that's not the important question today, y'all, believe it or not. Who I am is not the important question. The important question is, who are you? You know, we preachers are a dime a dozen. You can find a preacher on any corner. Your preachers ain't worth much. Who are you? God has called you to something amazing. God has called you to some purpose so divine. God has called our church to something amazing, y'all. Something I can't tell you how excited I am to be your pastor. I can't tell you how excited I am to see what God is going to do here in our church. I can't tell you how excited I am to see what God is going to do here in our city. But before God can do this stuff in our church, before God can do this stuff in our town, it's got to start with this. Who are you? Who are you in the light of God's grace? Who are you in the light of God's mercy? Who are you in the light of who God has made you to be? Now the answer to that is you are a child of God. Do you realize that? Are you living in the abundance of being a child of God? Are you living with the freedom, the power that comes from being a child of God? The question is not, who am I? Who are you? John Wesley used to ask his first followers this one question as every meeting dismissed. How is it with your soul? This morning, as you've come to meet the new preacher, as you've come to worship, the question I want to leave you with is that old Wesleyan question. How is it with your soul? Who are you this morning? For our church to be the church that God has called it to be and that God will make it, starts with us, doesn't it? Starts with our souls. Are you living that rich, satisfying life this morning? Are you living that abundant life this morning? Or have you just been going through the motions? You know, the cool thing about a new preacher is it's a time to start over sometimes, isn't it? Maybe today's the moment for you. Maybe God's been working on you. You've been saying, I know I need to do this, God. I know I need to start over. I know I need to start fresh. I know I need this new life. But, oh, I don't want to, God. How is it with your soul this morning? Who are you? By the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, may we discover who God has called us to be. And may our church live in the power and grace that God has given us. Let us pray.